That nothing is going right. Well, cheer up from Los Angeles. A big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. That's a mouthful to say. Yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called, ouch, caregiver burnout. Even sounds nasty when I say it. Now, we have an exciting show planned for you today. I'm so excited. Adrian Gruberg, president and founder of The Caregiver Space, an extensive social media platform ministering to hosts of caregivers. I was so excited when I found her site. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. I am your host today, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, selfless, sacrificial, that's actually three things, and the fourth thing is they are very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Gee, that's a surprise, huh? Folks, learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember, every time you board an airplane, you tune them out when they start to tell you about all this emergency stuff, you know, about cabin pressure going down and oxygen masks falling out of the ceiling. And the part that I'm concentrating on is here, they say, now before, if you're with a child, before you help your child with their mask, put your mask on first before you help your child with their mask. And the reason they tell you this is because they know that you will most likely black out if you don't put your needs above theirs. And then you won't be of any help to anybody. And guess what? Caregivers are exactly the same way. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this thing called the grief process, which is pretty nasty sounding all by itself. Unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through the grief process. You can't cheat it or go around it or go over it. You got to go through it. So hopefully we can help you through your grief and loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, you can learn more about me and the show and my radio podcast and my books and my videos and my blog. I know it all sounds about like it's me, but it's not. It's all about you. Just go to my website, davenass.com, and that's Dave, and then the first four letters of my last name, N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, davenass.com, and the actual name of our show also works too, davethecaregiverscaregiver.com. So go to my website and take my free quiz. Wow, another freebie. Are you a candidate for burnout? Which is great. And just for doing that, I'm going to send you a free copy of my ebook, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. And you know, that's still getting rave reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So don't miss out on this very informative quiz that will assess where you are in the burnout process. You might not even know that you're in the burnout process. And my quiz will help you find out where you are. So to get my free book, just for doing that, it's a great value. I mean, Amazon is still selling it for almost $10, so I would take advantage of this if I were you. Now, I want to take this moment to thank my guest last week, Lynn Barrington, and she did a very, very powerful interview on grief and the grief process. And to hear this great interview, just go to davenass.com and find the podcast, or go to iTunes and look under Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. All right, enough of all of that. I'm going to unmute my guest now, Adrian. And
hi,
Adrian, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you for patiently sitting through all of the introduction stuff for our first-time listeners.
Well, that's me too, I guess, first-time listener as far as the introduction goes.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you didn't mind. Now, thank you again for agreeing to this interview. I know that your story will really bless my listeners of burned out and caregivers and those stuck in the grief process. You've been faithfully. I can't talk today. Let me start that
That's
over.
Okay.
You have been faithfully and passionately serving the same community that I'm serving for years. And so I've got some questions for you. I know everyone's anxious to hear your answers. So let's just start right in. Why don't you briefly introduce yourself, Adrian, and tell us who you are and what you do?
Okay, briefly, I'm Adrian Gruberg, and I founded the Caregiver Space, which is a website. It's thecaregiverspace.org, and it's a free website that's totally dedicated to connecting caregivers to caregivers and to some of the information that they desperately need and contact that they need. It gives them a place to express themselves, receive, exchange information, and it's advertising free so that it's like a little bit of respite.
Wow. Share with us what it was that caused you to start the Caregiver Space.
In 2005, my husband was diagnosed with stage 1A lung cancer. You know, you hear cancer, not good. Okay, we can take care of him, but it's eventually going to come back. This is the kind of cancer they knew was going to come back.
They caught it in time, right?
Yes, they caught it in time, but because of the nature of the cancer, even though they could remove what was showing, whatever was causing it was not removable. It did eventually come back, but they did surgically remove one lobe and then a piece of another side. He was okay for a couple of years. Of course, we had to go through all the tests and doctor's appointments and follow-ups and all the medication and that. After about 2 years, his mom, at 89, was diagnosed with lymphoma.
Oh,
and
God.
She came to live with us while she went through chemo. Not
oh,
once,
gosh.
But 3 times.
Oh.
At the age of 92, she had opted to try one more time, and she had a will to live that was amazing. I had taken care of the two of them at the same time, and I couldn't leave the house.
Oh my gosh.
I wanted to be with both of them, be here for both of them, but I needed support. Gilda's Club, I live in Manhattan. Gilda's Club is 2 subway stops away. I couldn't go because I had to commit to a 3-month stint.
Uh-huh.
And if I couldn't commit, and I knew that I couldn't commit to 3 months, it wasn't fair. They needed the people to show up every week. And I said, well, what are my alternatives? And at the time, it was 2007. There were not the kind of alternatives that there are now.
Sure.
There are so many different websites at this point that are disease specific, where you can find what you need for the people that you're caring for. What I wanted to do was have a place for the caregivers that was about the caregivers and not about the patient, that was not trying to sell them anything, that just was a place where they would be able to come and communicate, trade stories, start their own chats, and journal and read our articles, which are very informative. So that's what was brewing in my head while I was taking care of them.
So it was grown out of necessity. Now, what is the Gilda's Club? Is that a caregiver support group?
Well, Gilda Radner was married to Gene Wilder.
Oh, that and Gilda.
That Gilda. And Gilda had ovarian cancer, and that killed her, and he started what he thought would be the most helpful thing, which was he bought a building, small, like a townhouse downtown, where they take care of both cancer patients and caregivers, and they have groups for everyone. Everyone gets an intake interview. They put you where they think you fit. It's a really wonderful place. And that's why, because it's such a wonderful place, I didn't want to muck up the works. So they told me, try the wellness community, which is now the cancer community. And at the time, that was great. What happened after that was, once you became widowed and were after, and or a widower, and it was after caregiving, you were only allowed 6 weeks to remain with the group that you'd been with.
Really?
And then you were supposed to transition to an aftercare giving group with a bunch of strangers. So it didn't work, and originally it was just an idea, well, let's just keep the group going, and I was going to do that. And then I said, well, if I'm going through all this trouble, it may as well be for everybody. So
sure.
I'm not the only one going through this. Everybody else is. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
So your website and your blog, by the way, how does someone get there? What's the web address?
It's thecaregiverspace.org.
And you mean we're spelling out
singular.
Space.
That's why
you don't mean.
Spelling it out. No spaces.
Right.
Thecaregiverspace.org. The org is important, of course.
Yes. Now, your website and your blog are very extensive. I was impressed and a little overwhelmed when I saw it because I didn't expect so much on there. It's amazing. Please explain all of the aspects of it because it has so many different moving parts and the benefits that those parts provide, if you can.
Well, if I can,
I
mean, all of the aspects, it's not going to be so easy to explain all of it. But we just launched a new and improved, simpler version of the site.
Is it out there now?
Yes. We're still tickling the cosmetic part of it, but the workings are all going fine. It's got forums, which are being actively participated in, which makes us very happy. The forums are also being shared. The questions for the forums are also being shared on Facebook, so that we're getting answers on both Facebook and the website right now.
What kind of forums are you talking about?
Well, a forum on life after caregiving.
Oh, forum.
A forum on caring for an autistic child. A forum. Just topics. It's just communities. You know, what other people might call them. You can start your own forum if you don't find one that is right for you. You
uh-huh.
can start your own in general discussions, and once it gets a response, it breaks out into its own forum. The forums are all like chat rooms. They're typed. Everything is typed.
Okay.
The chat, there is a chat feature which allows anyone to start their own chat, share their own chat group. There's a journaling feature. There's video content that catering to the needs of a caregiver who has restricted amounts of time that they can dedicate to exercising and diet. I have something called the Page Listens, which is a to ease people into how good writing can be for them, not to be so just judgmental, just to get it out. We have Yosef August is a caregiving coach who does programming for us. Linda Schrager is wonderful, who's an occupational therapist with a prime focus of how you can have your loved ones be cared for at home. Those are hints to help the caregiver take care of the patient. It really is the most patient-centric piece that we have is Linda's piece, but it really is to be able to help the caregiver, even if it comes to showing them how to properly get somebody in and out of the chair. Really simple things, but I didn't want to break my back when I had to get my husband out of bed. So I wish I'd known about it at the time. We've got some extensive content, and the blog, we have contributed to the blog. We're just so grateful that everybody wants to be working with us. We really are. We're very lucky.
Wow.
It's taken off. Mm-hmm.
What a blessing. It sounds like you've got dozens and dozens of different groups going on, or forums. Is that about right? I mean, how much activity is going on there?
We just launched it again. It never went off, but we relaunched it with the new forums last week. I would say there were about 24 forums right now that are going strong.
Wow.
You just have to put in the right question.
Yeah.
Or even name the topic or the keywords properly. I know I've got the loneliness of the long-distance caregiver.
Yeah.
Not long distance. That's long distance for the long-term caregiver. I was thinking of Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner when I wrote it, but it's gotten an incredible, it got such an incredible response on the forums that we did post the same thing on Facebook, where we've gotten about 40,000 responses now. I mean, it's it's really outrageous. It's outrageous.
So you managed to find 40,000 caregivers who have time to participate in your forums. That is amazing. or know enough about a computer to even participate in a forum. That's amazing.
Yeah, which shows you that, you know, not everyone in caregiving is elderly by any means.
Oh, yeah.
There's a much younger population out there, not just elder care.
True.
To be addressed, and those people are very computer savvy. Computers made a major difference in their lives.
Wow. Well, I'm just so excited to have you on. I can't wait to ask you all my questions, but we have to take a break, and we will be back in a couple of minutes, so don't go away, especially you, Adrian.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships. Available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Hear what Lynn Barrington, best-selling author of Daddies and Daughters, published by Simon & Schuster, has to say about it. You think you have it bad? Read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you will be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy Award winner, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch? This book will be an encouragement to anyone who reads it. Charlene just won't let the promises of God go. She's hanging on to her positive, godly attitude, and I look forward to the day when she will receive all that she's believing that God will do for her. In the meantime, she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. Her smile has gotten just as big as it was before her stroke. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. I'm glad to know her and her testimony. Read this book. You will be encouraged regardless of what you're going through. So get your copy of One Arm, One Leg, and 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But if you purchased it from the author's website, Dave and Charlene Nassani will personally autograph your own copy. Just go to DaveNass.com. That's Dave, and then N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, S like Sam.com. DaveNass.com. Oh, and while you're on his website, don't forget to leave your name and email address so that Dave can send you his free report, 10 Mistakes All Caregivers Make That You Shouldn't, just for visiting the site. There are a lot of resources, videos, and links to his radio podcast. Again, DaveNass.com. That's NASS. Now let's rejoin Dave Nassani and his guest on Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Program on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.
And we are back with Adrian Gruberg of the Caregiver Space. And we were just talking during the break. Tell me that number again, how many people you've got tuning in to
you. We've got about 76,000 people on Facebook, and we have about 20,000 people on the website. We are going to be letting more and more people know why they should be on the website as well, or instead of Facebook, because of the confidentiality aspect of it. People really aren't careful enough. And we're not trying to scare anyone, but, you know, Facebook sells stuff, and they've got analytics on everything and everyone. And when you want to be able to talk confidentially and really be sure it's confidential, we've got all that built in. We wanted it to be completely private. You can let in as many people as you want. You can make it public. If you want to make your information public, you can, but you certainly aren't obliged to. say anything you want.
Yeah.
2 years.
2 years. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anyone out there with those kind of results for 2 years. Do you?
No. I know that we do have people who were envious. They don't know what we're doing right. And I think we just listened to our... I knew what I wanted to do. I knew how to listen to caregivers.
Uh-huh.
And I figured, well, I was one, so if I just do what I thought I needed, I would answer some problems and then take it from them on what else they needed. And that's what we do. We ask a lot of questions. What are we missing? What could we do for you? You know, what would you like to see? Who would you like to hear from? Things like that.
Right. Well, in all fairness to you, it's a lot of hard work, too, just keeping up with this on a daily basis. I'm sure you would agree.
It's hard work. I have two just amazingly competent and creative people that are working with me, young people mm-hmm. who know much more about computer speak and all of it than I do. I was in marketing, and I knew... that I want how I wanted my vision to look because I mm-hmm. wanted it to be restful and I wanted it to, as I said, be advertising free. I didn't want it to look like everything else.
Sure.
Right after my husband died, well, not immediately after, but about 4 months after, I started to need, you know, help around the house to help me get my life back in order. This young woman became really excited about the prospect of doing the site when I told her about it. It had been germinating with me for a little over 2 years. The girl that was my assistant became my right arm and had the computer savvy and took a course in social media, and she flew with it. I financed it, and she made the rest of it happen, and then we hired someone to design the site, and little by little, it all came together. But because I knew what I wanted, I was basically the creative director and the producer in making it happen.
Wow.
She had a lot to do with it. Yeah.
Well, you're obviously doing something right. Just keep it up.
We will.
Listen, share with us the different type of disabilities that your caregivers are involved with. I'm sure it ranges the gambit. Tell us about the size. Well, you just told us about the size of the community on the website
yes.
and the different platforms. I understand you have like 8 different social media platforms. So talk about that.
As far as the disabilities go, because I did not want the site to focus on elder care, because so many sites are focused on elder care and Alzheimer's, I wanted to make sure that it was all inclusive and that it included Alzheimer's by all means and any kinds of dementia. But I wanted parents or wives of veterans or, you know, young wives with husbands who've been in accidents. There are just so many people mm-hmm. with, you know, young people who get diseases, people who just get sick. They're the ones that are being neglected because the diseases with the money, they get all the funding. I wanted to make it very inclusive. There is this amazing ability that caregivers, no matter what kind of person they're taking care of, the caregivers themselves have an innate ability to communicate. They have so many things in common, but we do have disease-specific areas as well, condition-specific areas. But mm-hmm. there are just forums where, oh Lord, I'm having a problem finding such and such, which mm-hmm. could cross lots of different conditions. People just talk to each other and chat, and when I say chat, they'll write back and forth to each other, but they can chat soon. Our chat room feature was working on the old site. I believe it'll be up next week on the new site. It has a living room, but once you're in the living room, you can create, as I said, as many people as wanted to, we've built in, can create their own chat rooms at the same time. And we will be having chats that are moderated by some experts, and those will be, posted chats. We'll mm-hmm. boost those so that people really know about them as we do them. It's exciting.
It is exciting. I'm excited for
yeah.
you.
As far as the social media, That's grown and expanded. I mean, you know, you go from Facebook to Facebook and Twitter, from Facebook to Twitter and Instagram, and it just kept going. So now we're on 8, and I don't know, I can't tell you all of the 8, but anybody who knows social media will know all of the 8, and we're active, and we have a really good response from everybody on everything that we're in. It's amazing. We know just how to address these people. Some of that's my marketing savvy, and some of it is just I got 2 smart people working with me.
Smart young people.
Yeah.
They're not like 12 and 15, right?
No, they're in. When I say young people, you know, they're under 35. One's in their 20s. The other's in their early 30s. So, they're just top notch. They're really bright and caring and have every quality that I could have wanted in someone that was in this with me. Great.
Yeah, I joke around about that because every time someone's having trouble with their computer, I say, just find a nice 12-year-old. He'll help you out, you know.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, my grandson, you know, is going to come over and teach me what to do.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot.
So, Adrian, how long did it take this to take off? I mean, I'm sure it didn't just start out with thousands like overnight. What was your curve, and how did it explode? Was there something, I'm sure word of mouth has something to do with it, but you didn't go on Oprah and then overnight everything just exploded,
I
right?
I wish, no. That would have made life easy. Because I hadn't written a book. They weren't interested in having me on the shows yet. But I felt that for what I was doing, you know, some of the simple how-to things, you don't need to write a book to have something to say. I didn't want to say what other people had said, and I didn't feel that I had a message that I needed to get across other than the work that could be done online. I mean, there was an actual task that I wanted to achieve, and I didn't need a book for it. I think they're getting it now. You said something else. It went up 2 years ago. I would say in the first 6 months, maybe we had about 4,000 or 5,000 people that quickly went to 25, and then, boom, it went to 50, and we turned around, and it was 75,000 on Facebook all of a sudden, and it was like, word of mouth is really something. The shares, we've had one share that's gone as far as 6 million people. There's been one post we had. We do something called care cards, which are just motivational, not motivational, they're just cards that touch your heart. And one of them really touched somebody an awful lot. They sent it to the right people. It's been over 6 million people. It's amazing. Who would have ever thought? I had a post I posted 2 days ago that's gotten 34,000 reads. That's very rewarding.
God bless you. God is blessing you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm so happy for you. Well,
Thank you.
Let's talk about the caregivers now. If there ever was a silent majority, as Richard Nixon used to always say about the silent majority, for those of you who don't know who Richard Nixon is, Google it. Silent majority is the caregiver. One out of every 3 Americans have been, are, or will be a caregiver at some point in their life, usually unexpectedly, without notice. And nobody has caregiver on their resume. Nobody's ready for this job. I wasn't. I know you weren't. You know, especially the baby boomers, as they are coming of age now. We talk about the sandwich generation, where the slices of bread is the parents who are coming down with Alzheimer's or dementia, and while they still have children at home. And then what I call the club sandwich is when all of a sudden a spouse needs care as well. So now you're like sandwiched between 3 pieces of bread. That is something to deal with. My question is your caregiver space getting any media attention now? Who's noticing besides caregivers? Anybody?
We can start after the first of the year to do a lot more publicity and campaigning. One of the biggest problems is that the majority is so silent. They're so busy taking care of their patients, their loved ones. They've been called the invisible patient themselves because very often they will get sick because they neglect themselves so much. So one of the things I'll be concentrating on more in the future is caregiver awareness, and I just want to make the public more aware of what the plight of a family caregiver is. I want to organize non-caregivers who have more time at their disposal to rally with other people to raise awareness and be advocates for the caregivers who can't get out and march and
right.
picket and you know, go on walks to raise money and things like that. I'm very keen on being an awareness raiser and an advocate. That's my next step. I don't feel that enough people are making enough noise. There are 67, the last count was too many years ago, and they said it was 67.5 million. Or 65.7 million. It's a third of the population is
yeah.
caregiving, family caregiving.
Which is huge.
And the last count that I heard from someone that hasn't been confirmed again is 90 million, which sounds to
yeah.
me a little bit more like it. That's an awful lot of people to be quiet.
Yeah, and
you get
and
those
I'm sure
people making noise and
yeah, and I'm sure it includes politicians and celebrities and famous people and authors, et cetera. When I became a caregiver, everyone
That's
started
easy.
Calling me a caregiver, and I didn't know what a caregiver was.
mm-hmm.
Call me naive. There are so many things out there that caregivers need to know. And I think
yes.
there should be a program, kind of like the American Heart Association or the American Stroke Association,
sure.
which are the same association,
mm-hmm.
really. They do all of these public service announcements, the five signs or the three signs of stroke, et cetera, just to make people
yeah.
aware, you know, like high blood pressure, it's a silent killer, you know, it's their tagline.
Yes.
Is there
yep.
a caregivers association similar to those associations that can make normal people aware that one day they may be called to be a caregiver and just so it's like filed in the back of their brain?
Well, they don't do it quite like that. I mean, you have Caregivers Action Network and National Association of Family Caregivers. There are places that work on our behalf, but I don't think they've really gotten as much done as I wish they would have in all these years.
That's because they need to hire you.
That's right. or at least they need to align with us. I would like to, again, it's the business of, you've got somebody in the hospital. You've been sitting with them in the room all, you know, all week long. You know that they're going home. You're worried about how you're going to handle it. Well, you've got a discharge person and a social worker at your disposal. And those two people, if you've actually got somebody in the hospital, those two people should prepare you for what to expect when you get home. And there should be somebody to help you set up what you need
yeah.
at home as a caregiver, yes.
And
I don't
most
think
hospitals
that's
do that.
Too
I,
much.
I know when Charlene, my wife, who had her stroke, when we came home and the home health care part of our insurance kicked in, the hospital
uh-huh.
sent somebody, or somebody sent somebody, I don't know if it came from the insurance company or
yeah.
the hospital, to check out. Come to think of it, that was mainly for Charlene's purpose. Are the ramps
right.
there? Are the handrails there? But actually,
right.
you're right. I don't think they were talking about me at all and what
no,
I needed
lots
to do.
And lots and lots. And you need to know what she needs, but you also need to know what you need.
Right.
Because the needs of caregivers, I mean, without a doubt, isolation and loneliness are two of the biggest problems that caregivers deal with. Exhaustion, frustration, anger, depression. I mean, those things all just come along with the rest of the package, and it makes complete sense. I think that if somebody knows that they're going to be a long-term caregiver, there should be some kind of in-hospital course for them to
right.
take for a short period of time, or if they can't get out of the house, somebody to come to them, or even a computer
yeah.
thing or a television show. There's just a lack of information out there. I think that, you know, the government could do something about it, but they don't seem to be, and that, again, comes down to some people making some noise and getting us noticed more than we have been. We've been a very quiet, very well-behaved population for a very long time. Yes, there are only going to be more of us, but there's not just going to be more baby boomers getting older. There's going to be more of all of it.
Yes. Well, it's time for another break, Adrienne.
Okay.
So hang in there and don't go away, and we will be back in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver program, every Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities so that you take care of yourself first, so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you to take care of them. And Dave Nassani should know. He's been a caregiver to his wife for over 19 years after she suffered a debilitating stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. After a 2-year grieving period, she came to the realization that she had to play the cards that she was dealt. And so she decided to reinvent herself and attempt to do all the things that she was famous for doing before her stroke, like gourmet cooking, hosting dinner parties for 12, interior decorating, sewing, and too many other hobbies and activities to mention here. She now basically makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers by continuing to do almost everything she did before her stroke. But in essence, she does it with one arm and one leg tied behind her back, and she might as well have duct tape over her mouth too, since she can't speak. And she does it all with her amazing positive attitude and smile. So what's your excuse for not playing the cards that you were dealt and turning those lemons into lemonade? Dave has been so inspired by Charlene's attitude that it inspired him to reach out to caregivers by writing 3 books, starting this radio program to make sure that caregivers have a place to go, to get the support that they need in order to avoid burnout and to get through the grief process. Now get ready to learn how you can avoid burnout and survive grief. It's Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. And here again is your host, Dave Nassani.
And we are back with Adrienne. And Adrienne, I wanted to ask you, what are the, I know you touched on this a little bit, but I want to go a little more in depth about it. Let's talk about the types of needs that you've identified, because you said you've grown so much just by talking to your caregivers to see, well, what do you need?
Yeah.
You know, what do you want us to do? What do you want more of? What do you want less of? What don't you care about? What do you care about? What are the different kinds of needs that you've identified with caregivers? What have they told you that they are in need of and that they're not in need of?
I mean, I think there are an awful lot of caregivers that would like to be compensated somehow for what they do.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It's estimated on an hour, on a man-hour basis, that they save the government over $450 billion
wow.
a year benefits. That's really an extraordinary number. The government could do something about giving compensation based on, it's almost like community service, get paid for that somehow.
Or even tax credits or something.
Yeah, something. Without a doubt, the thing that I get more complaints about are isolation and loneliness, and then the things that come with it, really bad depression. But that's what we hope that they'll finally reach out. If they haven't reached out already, they would all love to have a little bit of respite care. But again, that's a bit of pie in the sky right now. I would like to get the clergy more involved and city organizations, city clubs and things involved, the same kind of people that are working with unfortunate children and wounded warriors. There's a very compelling conversation to be had on behalf of caregivers. I'd like to be part of that conversation. I would like to represent us. There's a long way to go, but everybody has a different financial needs. Some of them
sure.
are actually really very critical. Well, you've got somebody that's working two full-time jobs and is first going home to take care of somebody, and their kids
mm-hmm.
have come home from school to take care of that person. I, you know, it's really a hell of a life.
Right.
So, or not that much of a life. It's really sad. It just takes over your world.
Brought up the clergy. Let me interrupt for a second. I had several weeks ago on the associate pastor of Joel Osteen's church on, and they started a huge special needs ministry at their church.
Oh,
it just
wow.
took off, because think about caregivers not being able to leave their loved one
mm-hmm.
to do things, go shopping or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about going to church?
Yeah.
So now they're suffering spiritually because they're not getting the fellowship that is known for being a Christian or going to church and receiving things. Now, yeah, there's things on TV, but that's just not the same thing as being there and being surrounded by people. Their attendance has like exploded since they have
wow.
implemented this special needs ministry. In fact,
oh,
so much so that they are franchising it to other churches, because as far as they know, they're the only church that was doing it in America. Now they are.
Well, isn't that saying something? Wow.
Yes, because
yeah.
we don't think about it. They're the silent majority.
Yep.
Or minority, or whatever you want to call them.
It's
but,
majority. It is huge
yes.
majority. Yeah.
Yes, because as a group of people, I can't think of any other group that numbers that one-third of the population.
Yeah.
Other than women, who's half of the population. So
but, I mean,
our
if
church...
you add all of the people that are sick with one thing or another up, everybody's got a caregiver.
That's true.
You know, so it's really outrageous.
And as more and more government officials start to get parents that are getting Alzheimer's and dementia, that in and of itself is going to bring awareness in our government of the importance of caregiving, because all of a sudden they're going to be one.
But
maybe
they
they're a
also,
senator.
They're also generally in a position to hire somebody.
Yes, they can probably hire somebody, but hopefully they're in the position to imagine what it would be like if somebody could not afford to hire somebody.
Right.
Say, I would have to do all this myself and this and that and this and that.
Yep.
How do you do it and still have a full-time job and bring the money into the family? So,
right.
But I understand I'm expecting a lot of a politician to take their logic to the next level, because that requires an element of intelligence that most politicians don't have. So I don't want to assume
mm-hmm.
it. Oh, that was
yeah.
bad. Okay.
No, I'm on board with all that.
Yeah. We're both from New York, so I think we think alike.
Yeah.
Well, your model that you're using is very, very impressive. I like what you said about partnering with other organizations that maybe are
mm-hmm.
struggling reaching the masses, because
mm-hmm.
whatever you're doing, you've reached the masses, and they need to kind of see what you're doing and maybe partner with you. So hopefully that word can get out.
Love
it is
to
very...
work with people on partnerships,
right.
strategic
well,
partnerships,
all...
absolutely.
Yeah, well, if you're a caregiver, we're all on the same team, right?
Yeah, I mean, we should all be working together as much as possible.
Yes. And not be in competition.
I mean, our goal, I because as I said, I have no designs on advertising income. My goal is just to help people,
right.
and that puts me in a very fortunate position. But that's the position that I'm in. I would be very interested in other people who would like to work with us.
Now,
together.
What do you do personally for income? I mean, are you retired? Do you have a job? Do you have a business? How do you pay your bills?
I'm retired. I'm a writer and an artist. I'm basically retired. But
and
this
so
is,
the caregiver space is
passion.
Kind of a non-profit organization.
It's a not-for-profit 501c3.
Right.
It's a real not-for-profit. We have not done much fundraising yet. We will be doing it starting again in the new year, as I said, the new year when we put all our ducks in a row. We've had to get stuff ready for this month because it's National Caregiving Month. pay attention to all of that and all the people that need us on board, and we're there for that. It doesn't feel like I'm retired because this feels like a full-time job.
Well, it's very impressive how
I set myself up with.
It's very impressive how you respond to your caregivers very promptly and on a daily basis, because a lot of sites out there, you're lucky if they talk to you once a month, you know what I mean? Especially the people that are on there. How big is your staff, and what outside activities do you do besides this? Or is this it?
Well, no, I have, amazingly enough, just two other people who do the work of 10 people, I swear. They're amazing. One person who understands social media and computers just incredibly well, and has done things for not-for-profits in the past, but she works for us full-time now. Then there's Jonah. So it's Corey, who's the first person, and then there's Jonah, who does outreach and finds out how he can be of help to various and sundry other initiatives across the city and ultimately across the country, but we got to start somewhere to see how we can help them get the word out or create programs that work. We have our online members who do writing for us, and we have presently two interns, college interns, who monitor questions and present them to us so that they identify what people are interested in so that we can address it and sometimes ask the most pressing questions to the Facebook community, let's say. What do I do besides this? I go to
besides
theater.
Besides 11 hours in the hospital with a friend, right?
With a friend on, yes, that was yesterday. I was a caregiver all day yesterday. And today he didn't want to see anyone. So that was fine. This is one of those days where, you know, sometimes you just need to be by yourself. And after yesterday, I was very happy to hear that he wanted to be alone today. So,
now we've touched on so much during this interview that you might have already touched on this, but I want to ask you anyway. What is the most effective method of ministry to your community? Where are you getting your most impressive results from? In what media form or format?
The largest results are coming from Facebook in sheer numbers. I think I did say the more Facebook changes, the more people will move over to the site. And then we also have a lot of Instagram people and pictogram people because we have these care cards that appear on those things and we get feedback on them. But I really feel that Facebook, where at one point we were fighting it when I first started, I wanted to be a social network for caregivers. And it was like, well, Facebook's doing the social networking part of it. So we just need to be that fabulous resource that they come to for other stuff. And again, it's the privacy aspect of it. So, yeah, right. Facebook is definitely where we get most. And our search, we're showing up great on search engines now.
Really?
When people put in caregiver very well, I don't think we're right at the top, but we're on that first page, and that's important.
Yeah, so I think that's how I found you.
You care. You'd go past page one to find some.
Yeah. Well, amazing, amazing, amazing. I can't believe that the hour is almost gone. It's gone so quickly, but, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you so much for sharing with us this past hour. And what last bits of wisdom in the last few minutes of our program can you leave with my audience that they can implement right now to alleviate their situations? That would be called the take-home or the takeaway.
Okay. Number one, I would have to say, is don't be afraid to ask for help. You can't
That's
do it alone. You know, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed that you can't do it by yourself. Nobody can. Everybody needs help. And be ready with the right things to ask for. You know, if somebody says, what do you need? Be ready to tell them exactly what you need, and they'll usually go out and do it. Sometimes, that's number two, I guess, sometimes just stop, take 10 deep cleansing breaths, and it's a mini respite. Then three, I guess, would be don't take the person who you're caring for's anger towards you personally, because that's not how it's meant. That's just the way it comes out. And a hurt caregiver, you know, is not very eager to do a good job and right. really, really gets tired fast. But I think the most important, of course, and I think you would agree, is join a support network, listen to other people who are talking about caregiving, seek it out, like your show, find a site or a face-to-face group in your community, but get support from others who are on the same journey. The sheer number of people out there should prove to them they're not alone. And if I may, I will just say one more time, thecaregiverspace.org is yes. a great place to find that ready support.
Yes, and what about your Facebook? How do they find you there?
Oh, Facebook, if they go to Facebook and put in the caregiver space, takes them right to the caregiver space page. Mm-hmm. Or they can go to the caregiver space site.org and go to Facebook from there.
And Twitter, how do they find you on Twitter?
Oh, at CGS, that's terrible. CGSN.
But I bet you have a link on your website to get
the CG space. CG space. Yeah, everything is on the page. All the links are all.
So they should go to your website first.
Yeah, I think if they go to the website, they'll find every link we have.
Yeah, they can find a Facebook link. And they'll find
all the blog posts and all that good stuff.
Well, I'm so excited.
The blog posts have been archived and indexed and really good stuff.
I can't wait to join a forum now. You've got me excited and anxious to do that. Which one do you recommend that I join based on what
I think you should join, not join one, but lead a men's forum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what would I teach in this men's forum? We don't teach. We just discuss.
Men can be very good caregivers. They don't have to relinquish that task to a professional. They should be there for their spouses as their spouses would be there for them, usually.
Do you mention because men have less confidence than women in their ability to caregive?
Yes, they do. They,
really?
They're not comfortable in the role ordinarily.
I must be unusual then.
You are very unusual, and your wife... under the circumstances, your wife is a very fortunate woman to have someone like you.
Oh, you are
good
so
man.
Sweet. Well, thank you again, Adrian. And I will send you the link to this. Actually, it's the same link, because after this show is a recorded podcast that will be out there forever and ever. And I think you've posted something on your social media where people can listen to this and that can eventually find all the array of podcasts and interviews that I've done. So thank you again for allowing me to interview
you.
You're welcome. And thank you to my listening audience for tuning in every Wednesdays at noon Pacific Standard Time and Saturdays at 3:30 p.m., same Pacific Standard Time. And don't forget, all our shows are recorded podcasts, and you can listen to this one on our website, davenass.com, and iTunes by going and typing in Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver. By the way, when you are on my site, please don't forget to take the Are You a Candidate for Burnout quiz so that you can get the free book. We'll email it to you, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. So until next week, may God richly bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process, right here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.